You know, this is my third time I come to speak, and every time I feel more honored to be on this pulpit. I mean, I honor the Lord more and more each time I come. You know, it's not like just words just going out, but I just feel more different. Yeah. Praise God. You know, there's no other place that I'd rather be than in this kind of atmosphere. Yeah. I mean, we do carry the word, the presence of God in our own life. But when everybody comes, you know, as a corporate, this is the only place I would rather be. Amen. And I know that you guys feel the same. Yeah. Because you guys, man, just being in this presence is, you know, you're just going through the day and you come into this kind of person, you're going to get cleansed, you know. You're being cleansed from all that dirtiness outside. Yeah, you hear and then, you know, you come in contact with. I mean, you just get all filthy. But once you come in this place, in this kind of atmosphere, my gosh, you get cleansed. You feel pure. Amen? Amen. You know, as Pastor mentioned that he spoke to us in a meeting that anytime that we have a chance to come in the front and speak the word, that we should speak something that would support what they are speaking about, what they're telling us, yeah, what the Spirit of God telling them. So I know this is not a comfortable thing that I'm going to speak tonight, but it is a consecration life, yeah. Is a more consecrated life. That's my title. And yeah, it's not really famous, but you know what? I mean, the place where we're stepping to now, yeah, we need it. We need that. I mean, because if God starts using you and you are still more in, how can I say, in a flesh, yeah, then you know what, you only can go so far. Yeah. You will only go so far. But man, when you consecrate yourself to him, yeah, my goodness, the free flow. So yeah. Anyway, that's what I'm gonna share with you guys tonight. Romans 12:1, New King James Version says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." 2 Timothy 2:20-21, it says, in a passion, it says, "In a palace, you find many kinds of containers and tablewares for many different uses. Some are beautifully inlaid with gold or silver, but some are made of wood or earthenware. Some of them are used for banquets and special occasions, and some do everyday use. But you, Timothy, but you, Julio, but you, Cheryl, Jaime, okay, must not see your life and ministry this way." Wow. "Your life and ministry must not be disgrace, for you are to be a pure container of Christ and dedicated to the honorable purposes of your master, prepared for every good work that he gives you to do." Amen. Oh, man, that's so powerful. Wow. Wow. In Psalm 19, verse 12 to 14, again, the passion, say, "How would I ever discern the waywardness of my heart, Lord? Forgive my hidden flaws whenever you find them." Okay. "Keep cleansing me, God, and keep me from my secret selfish sins. Whoa, we do all have that. Yeah, that's our secret sins. Whoa. May they never rule over me. For only then will I ever be free from fault and remain innocent of rebellion. Verse 14. So may the words of my mouth, my meditation, thoughts, and every movement of my heart be always pure and pleasing, acceptable before your eyes, my only Redeemer, my Protector, God. Praise God. These are all powerful words. I mean, these are all like consecrating for yourself words. You know what I mean? Yeah? You know, I noticed in my life, my walk in the Lord, see, the closer I get to Him, because He is the light, yeah, I am more exposed. See, the more you close to the light, come close to the light, the more you get exposed, yeah? The more you get exposed. The things that is in me, the things that I don't notice on my own, gets exposed, yeah? Those hidden flaws. And then when it's revealed to me, then I have that ability to choose, okay, to deal with it or not. See, it is up to you. Yeah, it is up to you. When God revealed that to you, yeah, then what you gonna do with it? Are you gonna consecrate yourself? Yeah, that's what we desire. Yeah, amen. So we all know that when we got born again, right, we became a new species. We have been born of God. We became alive of the things of God. Right? Our spirit became aware of God. And still, wait. See, that's what I listened to you. My word. Okay, we became alive in the things of God. Okay, our spirit became aware of God, became aware of spiritual things. But how you know that our minds did not? Yeah, our minds did not. Okay, when I got born again, you know, there are a few things that I noticed I stopped doing. Okay, I stopped cussing, I stopped drinking beer. Oh, those are the two things that stopped right away. You know, I mean, I wasn't a cusser. You know, but I used to cuss. Yeah. I mean, I used to be a co-worker of people that used to cuss this. When they say a sentence, there's a cuss word in there. Oh, brothers, cuss. Cuss, you know. Go, oh, my gosh. I wasn't saved then, but even me get dirty. I get dirty even. Oh. So yeah, those are things that I stopped drinking, you know. Oh man. Oh, never mind. No, you don't go there. Why? Because something inside of me, yeah, prevented me from doing those things. And then I yielded to that. It, you know, you are not supposed to do that anymore. Say, okay, yeah. Right? You guys all had that experience, yeah? Yeah? Okay, but there are things in my mind that needed to be renewed, okay? I just going to mention a couple of things. Some major things, they are major now, is faithfulness and integrity. So those are heavy stuff, yeah? Integrity and faithfulness. Hey, if you get those two things, man, you're going to make it. Still working on it, but I'm further way ahead now than before. Amen. Yeah. Jeremiah 1:12 said, Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Praise God. Yeah? God said that He is quick to perform what He says He's gonna do. But that wasn't me. when I, you know, when I say something, oh, okay, I'm going to do it. Oh, maybe, I don't know, half day. When, you know, it's like an emergency thing, but took half day, then it did not serve the purpose of it already. Yeah? And the other kind of stuff. But, you know, you guys probably had. Yeah? And then faithfulness. My goodness. Faithfulness, I learned a little bit quicker. You know, when first I started coming to church here, not too long after, I became an usher, okay? And then because I have a leader who was faithful, yeah, my pastor now, because he was my leader, he was faithful, then I followed him. See, faithfulness begets faithfulness. Praise God. But, yeah. So, every time I come to church, every time the church is open, I'm ushering. And you know what? I'm still ushering. After so many years, praise God. You know, after so many people has gone by, yeah, I'm still ushering. And praise God. I mean, I wouldn't mind just ushering. Yeah? I mean, I didn't ask God to be an elder. But maybe because he saw my faithfulness. I don't know. See, God promotes you that way if you're faithful. Yeah? He promotes you. Praise God. See, my pastors could depend on me because I'm always there. Yeah? I am faithful. And, you know, speaking of my pastors, now, they are, and I'm speaking for myself now, but it should be to you too, but they are my gifts. Yeah? They are my gift. Man? God gave them to me as my gift. Okay? They have been placed in my life, okay, perfecting me for the work of the ministry. Praise God. And for the edifying me as a part of the body of Christ. So, you know what? I don't want them to be burdened concerning the ministry of help. If I can help, I'll do it. You know? Yeah? If you can do it, you do it. I cannot recall, ever since our pastors became pastors, I cannot recall that, I could be wrong, but I cannot recall that I did not ever say no to you. Anything that you ask me, I say, yes, sir. Okay, pastor, yeah, sure. Yeah. Why? I don't want them to be burdened because they have their calling and I am in a ministry of help. I'm supposed to help them. Yeah, so that they can be, you know, praying. They can be, you know, seeking the Lord for what they're going to give us. Yeah? You guys receive that? Yeah? Praise God. So even he tells me, because I told him, I'm going to be honest. I told him, Pastor, you know, I don't want to preach, you know. Man, no worry, no worry. No worry. Going in the front, nah, that's not my, I don't want to preach. Yeah, no, don't worry, bro. Well, praise God. He asked me, yes, sir, I will. Something in me, I don't know what I say, but I just say, yes, sir, yes. Actually, Pastor, the Lord told me, don't ever say that again. You know, that you don't want to preach. Yeah. Oh, boy. There are some bad habits that I had, needed to remove and replace with good habits, okay? You know that there are some bad habits that would lead to destruction, and there are good habits that leads to life, okay? Okay, you know, some people have a hobby playing golf, tennis, going fishing, traveling, like my brother Muniz. Oh, man, they always travel. Like, oh, brah, I like retire too already. I like retire too. I like to travel. Okay, but every other month, yeah, they go travel. So, praise God. But you know what my my hobby is? Playing games on my phone. And that's the truth, my gosh. And that's what gets me into trouble. And I had a hard time learning that. Oh my, you know, I mean, you're through a hard day work, right? You go out and work, and oh man, it's a long day, you're tired, so you come home, you just want to relax. Ah, I think I'm just gonna relax. I'm gonna play a little bit game on my phone. So I just kick back on my bed, and then a couple hours after, I go, oh my gosh, couple hours, even 3 hours at times. Go, oh, you know, I could have invested that time praying, yeah, going in a word, yeah. My goodness, I'm not there now. Yeah, I'm changed. I'm not there. I mean, I still play, but not as much. Okay. My goodness, yeah. So. Thing that I get from playing games is blurry eyes. Right, like blurry eyes. I go. Jesus is an example of good habits. Yeah. He says, Luke 22:39, the Passion says, Jesus left the room with his disciples and was his habit. Went to the Mount of Olives, his place of secret prayer. Now that is an awesome prayer. I mean, a habit. See, some habit will bring you, will lead you to destruction. Some habit will lead you to life. Prayer will lead you to life. Also in Luke 4:16. He says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom, his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He goes to church. That is an awesome habit. Yeah? He prays, then he goes to church. Oh, that's the good example that we should follow. Amen. Okay, we consecrate our life to him and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us, okay, to conform us to be more like Jesus. You know, ever since I heard this message of consecration or living a pure life, holy, I mean, I have always, something inside of me is just drawn to that teaching. You know, I mean, I'm drawn to other one, but just this alone. I think one Sunday morning, I think our pastor was teaching along that line, and I just came in because I was watching outside and staying back a little while, and then I started to listen, and inside of me it was just grabbing that thing. So I told Clyde, I'm going to go in the front a little while, but maybe about half an hour, and then you go watch in the back. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I stood over here. I mean, my gosh, yes. And then, oh, Pastor Steve preaching what my message is. Consecration. So I asked the Lord, Lord, do you still want me to, you know, to preach on that? Yeah, you preach what I told you to preach. So, okay. I think I told you that, yeah, Pastor, yeah. sakit. Psalm 51:10-13 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit." And this is the kicker. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Amen. That's the whole reason why. Yeah, that's the reason why. My goodness. Our heart's desire should be free, or to have victory over the works of our flesh. Pastor Wayne teach about that. You know, the works of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. Yeah. The flesh, which is the carnal mind, okay, it fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction. That's the flesh. It refuses to submit to God. You know, God tell him, you know, go do this. And nah, that's okay. A shame. Not anymore. Not anymore. Praise God. Yeah, so he cannot submit to his direction because he cannot. Okay? It is an enemy of God. Okay? The works of the flesh there in Galatians 5, I say is like a drag of the life of the believer, okay? You guys know what is a barnacle? Yeah? It's a barnacle, yeah? That's the one that attaches itself under a boat, yeah? Even maybe turtles, whales, yeah? So, you know, there are times in our boats, you know, the owner will bring the boats to the dock. They put them on the dock and clean them up. Yeah? Man, sometimes we got to allow the Holy Ghost to clean us up. I mean, those barnacles that are attaching to our lives. I mean, it's a drag. It causes you to slow down. You know, that boat should be sailing right through, cutting through the water smoothly. But because of those barnacles, it causes a restriction. Yeah? Causes restriction. And you know what? It uses more fuel. So if we have those things in our life, I mean, we're just going with you know, energies being wasted. I don't want barnacles in my life. I want to, you know, the way that we're going through right now, you know, our services, I mean, the way how we're flowing, yeah. I don't want to be a hindrance of that because of those barnacles in my life. I don't want to be. I want to flow. I want to flow freely. I want to go where that river go. Cutting smoothly on the waters, sailing through the waters. Praise God. Free from barnacles of life, and then we can sail smoothly in the waters of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. One thing else, one very early morning, okay, I woke up, I don't know what time was that, I would say maybe 2, 1, so I woke up and sense a heavy presence of the Lord, okay, and you know when you feel that presence of the Lord, that heavy, I mean, wow. I don't know what's going on to your mind, but my mind was okay. I was waiting. I was waiting for him to speak to me. Yeah? And you know what I heard? love your wife. I heard, love your wife. And that's it. So I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will love my wife. Yeah? You know, in Ephesians 5, 25, husbands are commanded to love their wives. Yeah? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay? And if you read under the rest there in that chapter, only the husband is commanded to love, but not the wife. Not the wife, yeah. But you know what? The wife are commanded to, you know, to honor, yeah. But the husband is commanded to wife. I mean, to love the wife, yeah. Well, I was wondering why did, you know, God didn't put that, you know, that the wife has to love the husbands also. You know, let's just say exact example. Children, who they run to mostly? Their mom, right? Because they feel that love more, you know. They have that attached more. So it is in them already that love. They don't have to. They automatically love. Yeah? They automatically love. You know, if I ask my wife, honey, you love me? Of course. You know, of course I love you. You know? Do you like me? I don't know. Maybe not right now, maybe. Not right now. Until I tell you, you do what I told you to do, then I'll probably go like you. Yeah? It's true, though, yeah? I mean, they love you, but sometimes they don't like you. Isn't that right, Jaime? Oh. So yeah, the Lord told me, love your wife, okay? But prior to that, when the Lord told me to love my wife, okay, we actually had, what do you call it, brother? Remember when you have... intense ministry. Yes. We had that. And it ended up for, not speaking for about a week. Give the silent treatment. I know you guys, nobody have that, right? I know you, only me and my wife. Yeah, we don't. We only are the only one that do that. But finally, I cannot stand it anymore. So I gotta go humbly, honey. Oh, forgive me. See, I learned how to humble myself. The wife teaches you how to humble yourself. Oh. So yeah, we had a disagreement. You know, because I've been desiring to live, you know, what I'm preaching right now, to live holy before the Lord. Yeah? I want to be consecrated. And then I think maybe, I don't know, a month and a half after, I buried myself, you know, put him in a grave, you know. So, I don't know, I did something, and she didn't like it, and we began to argue. Yeah? Then I could feel that grave. The bugger starts shaking. The grave that trembling. 30 seconds, about going resurrected. Oh, flash man, you know. Oh my God. You know what, Pastor? I have not kept the fire burning. Yeah, playing those games. That's the reason why. Yeah? Keep the fire burning. And you will not go into that place. Okay. I'm just busy doing this and that, playing on my phone. Okay. Then one Sunday, it is after we fought now, after the Lord told me to love my wife. Okay. One Sunday service, you, Pastor, called me up in the front. Okay. Spoke some words to me. Okay. And part of that word was said, you will love like Jesus. It's good. Yeah. You told me that you will love like Jesus. Oh man, I ate that up like Kale ate those mangoes, you know. Saliva even. Oh my gosh, you know. In my spirit, oh, it ate that up. Yes, I will love like Jesus. And you know what? I've been confessing that. I will love like Jesus. Praise God. You can ask my wife that if I'm better now or not. After service. Oh. See, we desire for greater works. God desire for greater works, okay? Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Yeah? This is the time when God is about to split the Jordan River. Yeah? But God told him to sanctify the people. Yeah? Because I will take them to a place where they have not been before. Yeah? We sanctify ourselves because God is taking us to a place where we have not been before. Amen. You know, I had a vision one day during prayer time. Okay? I was standing on this wide road, okay? This highway, okay? Looking straight. And then I look further down, I see the road. You know, when you standing in this place, and yeah, the road is wider, but as you go look way, way ahead, it becomes smaller, right? But as I look ahead, I saw gates, okay? I saw gates, white gates. White gates, okay? So, I asked, Lord, well, what are those gates for? Well, this is what he told me, God. Those gates are a place of when you enter to a new place in the Lord, yeah. And in that place, before you open that gate, you gotta consider the cost, because you know it will cost you something, yeah. The flesh, yeah, dying of the flesh. Okay, Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss, and there are many who enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is difficult to travel is the path that leads to the way, which is the everlasting life. And there are few who find it. Okay. Luke 13:24 amplified say, and strive to enter through the narrow door. Force aside unbelief and the attractions of sin, for many, I tell you, will try to enter by their own works and will not be able. Okay? See, the road represents our walk with God. That is where I was trying to explain. It is represent our walk with God, our relationship, you know, our fellowship. And in there, you know, all our desires, yeah? And the gates represent the beginning of a new, greater relationship. That's where it is. Okay, fellowship, and more of a consecrated walk for a more anointing in our life. Okay? So you need to count the cost before you open that gate. Because the road is narrower, your walk becomes more accountability. Because in there will be a greater judgment, discipline, than the wider road. But you know what? It's good. We should strive to for the narrow road, right? So one of the ways that I've been consecrating myself is prayer, going in the Word, and a lot of praying tongues. I mean, I travel 90% of the time in my job. And in that going out, I probably work, I don't know, 60%. The majority is just traveling. So I get a lot of time traveling. Today I just went to Gohana. Oh, I get 4 or 5 hours of praying tongues. Yes. Going in, going out. And you know what? Man, it feels good. It feels good. Maybe it's just the throat is a little dry, but it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. But going in a Word, you know, Pastor said, you know, what they're doing is okay. Yeah, in a morning, okay, that's your time with the Lord. But how about during the day? You know, example was, you know, you can have your conversation with the Lord anytime when you are out there. Yeah, you can be thanking Him. I know when I'm working, I mean, I gotta concentrate because sometimes I troubleshoot. But you know, even that, Lord, how this gonna go? I mean, you know, I just talk to Him. Yeah. Amen. So that's one way, you know, and you do fasting. Yeah. So those are kind of stuff that, you know, will help you do, you know, be consecrated unto the Lord. Amen. So prayer and fasting, yeah, it will cause you to become greater. Okay, the reality of the spirit realm will become more clarity. Okay, because you have been consecrating yourself to Him. When the Holy Spirit speaks or reveals things to you, you know, you become more sensitive to it. Yeah? Amen? And that you receive something? Yeah? That kind of concludes what I have tonight. Praise God.